It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 27th day of July, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that takes place in the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is where you happen to be listening to the podcast. Hi. I'm Robin, and it is, of course, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Oh, yes, 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 naturally. And we will be dealing with some Cathedral of Common Sense stuff in fairly short order. But we have to do the thank yous, and thanks go out for this 27th day of the month to our 27th day of the month subscribers. My goodness gracious, July is almost done. And so thank you to our dear friend Robert in Australia. And thanks as well to David in San Diego for jumping in. The entirely horrifying fundraising goal for this evening and for the remainder of July, which appears to now be either today, tomorrow, and Friday, or today and tomorrow, $1,852. That's a lot. But Tracy's challenge got met, and that's a tremendous help. And so we got 1,800. I was trying to divide by two. Don't. 1,852 to go to finish the month of July and pay all of the bills so that independent liberal, progressive, non-commercial, non-capitalist broadcasting can remain a going concern into the month of August. I would be lying if I said it wasn't worrisome. It's extremely worrisome. At this point, I'm beginning to look at what I can and, well, never mind. It's not worth talking about. But if you'd like to help out, the PayPal button is over at HeadOn.live. If you'd like to become a new subscriber, there are 4 slots for new subscribers that will be doubled courtesy of our dear friend Zed in Iowa. Thank you, Zed. And I hope that will happen in the next couple of days. By the way, we are closing in on, and it will happen before the end of August, we're closing in on 500,000, get that. No, not dollars. We're closing in on 500,000 downloads over at Podbean. Granted, it's not Pink Shrek numbers. It's not, it's not Joe Rogaine numbers. No. But it's still pretty impressive over the course of a fairly short span of time that we've been at Podbean. And I don't know, maybe when we get there, we'll throw a little party or something. I kind of wonder where we are and after yesterday's program gets factored in. By the way, Tony Dow, who fought a such a tireless battle against cancer, has died. Yesterday they said he was, but he wasn't, and they retracted it, and so now the poor fella has gone on to his reward. And well, he was very brave for speaking out about behavioral health issues back before it was cool. That's pretty neat. Not Tony Dow, but we will. We're about 3,000 downloads at Podbean away from our 500,000th all-time downloads, and that's just Podbean. That doesn't count WhiteRoseSociety.org, where God, heaven only knows how many downloads there have been. Not bad for a little, what did Ed Schultz once refer to listener-supported radio as? Bake sale radio. Yeah, Ed, who is dead, once said that if you weren't doing a show that had ads for Buy Gold Now in it and stupid beats and stuff like that, you weren't doing real radio. Well, we're still doing it though now, aren't we? And that's pretty freaking awesome. But it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and the little old blue-haired ladies, even though it was raining fit to beat the band, y'all, we had a flash flood warning until, I think, 10 o'clock this morning, and a flood watch in general remains in effect for pretty much the entire area where I live. Saw a picture earlier of one stream completely out of its banks and covering up a road not far from here. So I pursued the better part of valor today, that is to wit, discretion, and stayed the heck home. Didn't go nowhere. No errand running, no nothing, because we're on high ground, and it was, I felt like it was the smarter thing to do. But nonetheless, the little old blue-haired ladies were, and little old blue-haired men were busy, busy, busy in the fellowship hall kitchen. They did, this final prayer meeting Wednesday of July, they did meatloaf, several pans thereof. I did it the way I like it, with the hoisin sauce on top instead of the ketchup glaze. Yeah, and they did mashed potatoes to go with it, and it was a mite heavy for a hot and muggy day, but my goodness gracious, it was delicious. And there was a succotash, corn and green beans, because it's that time of year. And they did a tomato and avocado and onion salad with balsamic vinegar. And peanut butter pie for dessert, because we checked all the attendees. No one had a nut allergy. And so they whipped up peanut butter pie after peanut butter pie after peanut butter pie. And by the time it was taking shape, it was pathetic. The deacons were just standing there salivating like a bunch of overfed golden retrievers. Yeah. But everybody had a lovely dinner. I enjoyed it. And then afterward, the deacons trundled their massive bulk up a couple of flights of stairs. It's between that and passing the plate. It's about all the exercise the deacons get. And they wandered on out into the parking lot where they stood to smoking with the sinners, you know, looking at the sinners. Hey, buddy, you good at that? And eventually, now that I'm a proud non-smoker for nearly 2 years now, I stood in the doorway there at the vestibule and crackled the horn solar-powered cattle prod, and they noticed it, and they got to moving, putting Newton's laws to the test. Those bodies at rest did not tend to stay at rest, and they got moving. They blew past me and through the vestibule and past that desiccating bowl of buttermints and got them a couple of swigs of hand sanitizer just for luck, and are gathered down here at the front of the Cathedral of Common Sense in eager anticipation of taking up those heavy brass-bound burgundy velvet line plates and passing them around and about the congregation and hoping some people will notice the PayPal button and Patreon button and in the bottom and the mailing address inscribed, laser etched around the inside of the plate, you know, the horn. 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And we'll bring the minister of music up and get that started. And they'll just pass the plate, and you just take it and do what you can do and pass it on. Because otherwise, you know, we may move into a lock-in situation. And nobody wants that, no. So with the deacons in position, I've given them ample time to get there. I will call the minister of music up. Sister Minister of Music, if you would please, and we need to get you into voice therapy.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will. Empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mercy. dosey 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 and little lambsy dobby a kiddly dobby too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? All brethren, sistren, I'm a calling on you now. Here as we begin this prayer meeting Wednesday, ho, glory on the horn, to get up out of your seat and onto your feet, on screeching, screeching, wiggling, waggling, waddle, and get out from betwixt the pews, and come on down that blood-red aisle, and fall upon your knees at the subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of flowing through you from the server on high. I am Naughty Nun, Aggravated Abbess, Maternal Mother Superior, Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Gobsmacked Guru, Robin Kincaid, and this is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Ho! Glory! Amen. I think I'm feeling a fainting spell coming on. The Spirit is just all over me. Goodness sakes, yes. Let us begin with the holy laughter. Brother Usher Flavio has sent this along. A naked man arrives at a costume party with a girl on his back. I'm a turtle, he says. Who's on your back? That's Michelle. You see, I'm so far down the political rabbit hole, the minute I saw a turtle, I was like, wait a minute, shouldn't the shell's name be Elaine? Mitch McConnell joke, sorry. I apologize. Oh, I apologize for that. That was just horrible on my part. This being prayer meeting Wednesday, I thought it would be appropriate to take note that Pope Frank decided he wanted to go and visit some nice people, so he went to Canudlia, and he issued an apology, he did, for all the thousands of indigenous children who were tortured by his church. You know, and murdered by his church, etc., etc., etc. No word on whether Holy Mother Church is going to be writing a check. You know, apologies are free. Restitution, well, that's something he's just gonna, I think he's probably just willing to deal with in the hereafter. But he's doing some speechifying, and hopefully somebody gets him a plate of poutine. Maybe a ice-cold moose head beer. I don't know if they've got that over there in the Vatican, the moose head, or the Molson even. I don't know. But, you know, and there was a picture posted of Pope Frank, and I can't help but wonder if it was a Pope Frank prank. Sorry. Maybe a long evening. Of him wearing an indigenous war bonnet while meeting with a group of indigenous leaders from the First Nations. And I said, I wonder if it was a prank because, you know, I can't help thinking that, you know, if you're white folks and you're meeting some indigenous folks and they go, no, it's okay, here, put this on. Maybe the right answer is, I appreciate your kindness, but I feel like that would be highly inappropriate of me given what I'm apologizing for. But that's, again, that's me. But here's a name for this prayer meeting Wednesday. Here's a name that we haven't seen in a very, very long time. It's been a long time since we saw the name Ted Haggard. You might recall that back in the heady days of the... she said heady. Of the early aughts, that one of the rising stars out in Colorado Springs, amongst all the mega churches out there, was a somewhat telegenic, in a sort of Western movie, square-jawed kind of way, guy by the name of Ted Haggard. And Ted resigned from New Life Church in Colorado Springs back in the day when he got caught snorting meth off a sex worker boy's butt, and paying the said sex worker boy for massages. Then once that dam broke, it turned out that he was, at the same time that he was preaching that marriage is a sacred, sacred institution between one man and one woman. It turned out he was having sex with a boy at church who do I have to say it out loud? Well, the Denver Post has a new story, because you might recall also, because there's a lot of recalling that has to go on with Ted Haggard. Ted left New Life Church. He founded it in 1984. He had 14,000 people in the seats when the methamphetamine sex worker boy, member of the church boy sex thing, broke. And they excommunicated him. And then he went off to conversion therapy to get his demonic lust for cute little sex worker boys and methamphetamine out of his system. They prayed all that gay away, and they prayed the gay away so good that he started another church. I mean, it's kind of all he knew how to do. But in 2010, he founded St. James Church. You know, James was the brother of Jesus in the Christian iconography. I think the New Testament says some pissed off people tossed him off a wall. So now the Denver Gazette has a new bombshell story out. It appears that they didn't pray all the gay away, nor did they get him released from the demon crank. Former members of St. James Church now say that after he founded his new church and got all the paperwork in order and everything, well, he started looking for little boys he could have sex with some more. The Reverend Kirk Sethman, he got ordained by Ted Haggard at St. James Church in October 2012, and just what being ordained by Ted Haggard involves, we probably don't need to contemplate. But that was 2010, and all the way up to 2019, And Seth Sethman has it on tape. I have a feeling saying Seth Sethman is going to be a bit of a struggle through the course of this. See what it's doing? Seth Sethman, he's got the tape, and a couple of young fellas. One of them was underage when it happened in 2019. Jesus loves the little children. You're not Jesus. Get your hands off that kid. Now, in a recorded statement, one kid who was underage in 2019 said that Haggard made them feel uncomfortable in what they describe as his mannerisms that he displayed while around them. And the kid who was a minor at the time said that he wanted people to know that Pastor Ted had touched him inappropriately on several occasions while at St. James Church. Membership at St. James declined over the years, and they changed their name again to Story House Church. Story House Church? That, like, story time? That sounds like it's a, well, never mind. The one kid said, sometimes when he touches me, it feels very predatorial and very strange. He'll touch me on my pecs or my back or hug me in a way. Wait. Hug me in a way that I'm sliding up his hip or the side of his thigh or his bum. You can kind of tell it's weird. And the kid went on the tape and said, there's a lot of highly suspicious things that he does. And you're like, that doesn't seem or feel normal. And then there was the young adult male who was at least not underage. But still, when you're talking about a 64-year-old guy, being of age is a mighty low bar. And said that Pastor Brother Minister Ted made him feel kind of really, really creepy in how he'd behave around the young people of the church, young men. And by the way, Seth Sethman, he was a volunteer in a children's ministry program at New Life Church under Haggard. And back in April of 2020, and the fact that this story is still going on in July of 2022 says something about the way the churches move when they find out they've got a child sex predator in their midst. Some of the elders, not all of them, told Haggard he needed to step down from the pulpit there at St. James back in April of 2020. Step down from the pulpit. I'm guessing he did several times. One of the protesting members said, what prompted me to write that letter was his abuse of authority and his denying it. We were looking for accountability. Well, we didn't find it, so... The one church elder who spoke up is a woman, and she's afraid for her name to be attached to the story because she said, he's such a powerful, influential, persuasive, and manipulative source, but silver-tongued, a snake in many ways who makes excuses and lies. Yeah. And they sold off the St. James building, like I said, moving to a home-based, high story time church model. They raked, when they sold the St. James building, they raked in a cool $1.95 million. You know, I'm thinking if they were actually following the teachings of Jesus, maybe they might have wanted to. And I know this is just a crazy idea, but give it a chance. Keep the building, renovate it and turn it into housing for the poor. Crazy, huh? Yeah, because Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life, did say the most important thing that anybody could do would be to house the homeless, feed the hungry, give water to those who thirst, heal the sick, and visit those in prison. Maybe they could have had a ministry that for people who come out of prison so they've got a place to live. Yeah. And so now Ted Haggard says,
St. James has seen a slow decline, and we decided as a church we wanted to become a network of house churches.
And so now he's running church out of his house with 40 to 60 people coming to his house every Sunday. And they've got a children's and youth ministry room down in the basement. Seth Sethman said, my prayer is protecting the children and the young adults. And so, he's displaying a pattern that seems to be common to adult sexual misconduct with children. Grooming, I think, is the word that the really hip Republicans are using these days. The two young men who gave the recorded statement said that Haggard takes teenagers and young men four-wheeling without shirts and their chests all muddied up. And then he finds a way to be in contact with those muddy young bodies. And as the Denver Gazette puts it, Haggard did not respond to a request for an interview. He was healed, he said, in 2007 by a spiritual restoration program in Phoenix where he was healed of his same-sex tendencies. And, it even goes so far as to the book that his wife wrote, Gail, saying this was stuff that nobody else knew. She said, "Well, yes," and then there was that relationship with a boy at a XXX store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And, of course, it's right there in the book of Mark where Jesus says, let everyone who has not been in a relationship with a boy at a XXX adult store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, cast the first stone. Not funny, just, well, again, this is another one of those dog bites man stories. It's not anything that, but it did make the headlines. After forming St. James Church, back in 2012, Pastor Brother Minister Ted asked a young church member, Pastor Brother Minister Ted was giving him drug counseling because the boy was a heroin addict. Ted said, hey, you think, you know where to get the heroin and stuff. You think you could get me some crank? And the young man told the story to Seth Sethman, who then got a medical doctor who actually went to the church to go to confront Haggard. Haggard said, well, yes, I did. I bought the methamphetamine, he said, scratching. And I was going to use it for my birthday. That would have been his 56th birthday back then. And he said, I need you to come to the house. And you know, you can see him just sort of rubbing his arms. I need you to come to the house, fellas, and help me get rid of the meth in the name of Jesus. So Sethman and the doctor say, okay. We don't want you to be tempted, Ted. And he handed him a briefcase. What a story. And said, y'all won't say nothing about this. I'll be accountable in the future, okay? And then there was no accountability. But Seth Sethman decided he would open the briefcase. Y'all don't open the briefcase, okay? All the meth is in there. In the name of Jesus, it is. And once he opened the briefcase, Seth Sethman found a little bag of meth. Because, remember, way back then, Peter Godbold was still with us, and he giggled mightily at the idea that Ted Haggard was a Crystal Methodist. The methamphetamine bag had just very little left of a gram of meth. And there was what Seth Sethman described as a well-used glass meth pipe. And then what the Denver Gazette describes as multiple sex toys. A DVD with two young males on the cover and a credit card with Ted Haggard's name on it. He had a special meth credit card. What's in your wallet? And then, just to show you that ain't none of them, Seth Sethman, turns out, was in recovery. And he'd done some prison time and had an addiction problem. And so he got rid of the small amount of meth in the briefcase for Ted Haggard, just like he said he would. He set fire to it, burned it right up, and just happened to breathe the fumes. And then he put the briefcase in his garage and then got it upgraded to a pharmaceutical habit. And in 2015... went entirely blind. And they eventually ratted Pastor Brother Minister, servant of the Most High, Ted Haggard. They confronted him about it, and well, that's when Ted called the police. No, Ted called 911 and said Seth Sethman was a delusional madman who had cornered poor Ted in his church office. The Sethman had a witness with him, however. And heard him say, you're going to ruin my life. Colorado Springs Police Lieutenant Pamela Castro said that no, they weren't going to release the report because it falls under the category of juvenile abuse or neglect. but she did confirm that it's not no longer an active investigation. And this is, I mean, it's disgusting all the way through. But then the boy's parents, who had given the recording, wouldn't let anyone talk to the kid. And wouldn't let the detectives even speak to the boy. They stonewalled the police and protected Ted. Funny how that happens. And Ted tells people, well, it was all just a misunderstanding. Yeah, I'll say. The misunderstanding comes from the fact that they didn't understand from the very beginning that child sexual predators, generally speaking, don't get better. But, you know, it's a church, and you know, with all of this in mind, it just brings out the fundamental tenet that you really don't want children getting anywhere near a church. Any church. I don't care what kind it is. The risk is too great. You know, we had years and years and years of National Council for Drug Policy. You know, this is your brain on eggs, and this is your brain with a side of bacon, all those ads. I know it would break the hearts of Neil with a K. Gorsuch and Sammy Bad Breath and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and Brat Kavanaugh, who himself has a thing for underage kids, apparently. And, of course, the handmaid. But we need PSAs on TV where you can't change the channel without seeing. Have you let your child attend a church? Stop it. If you parents who love their children, don't let them attend churches. Because all too often, it just starts with Sunday school, and the next thing you know, the Christian minister's sitting there rutting away on your precious boy. And occasionally, girl. But, you know, just let it serve as a warning. Oh, thank you, Suman. Thank you so much. Cowbell for the timing of what's in your wallet. Some of these little gems just happen on the fly, and I was proud of that one. I'm glad you found it to be of quality, Suman. Thank you. Well, okay, I guess some people don't appreciate humor. Randy Radar says, bad Robin, give yourself a gunner. What, was that for Crystal Methodist? I would not be surprised if it was. But with that story, and having called to mind the late, great Peter Godbold, I remember how we, oh God, how we laughed at this. And God, I hope it's still there. Yep, it is. Donnie Davies and Evening Service with a special musical interlude. It's a long-distance dedication going out to Ted Haggard out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is for you, Ted. I don't know why we can't come out of an up-tempo song. Get Don on the phone. Where are those pictures I was supposed to see? All for you, Ted.
Come on, you sinners. And you're all sinners. Pray with me. I'm train don't take no sinners, no murderers, no thieves, no gays. You ask me what keeps this train running smooth. Well, I bow my head and softly say it runs on meth and madness on a Sunday morning. Meth and madness, sure as I am born again. It's meth and madness, I don't need no more. Give me meth and madness and we'll praise the Lord. If a man lays with a man as with a woman, the Bible says so shall he be killed. If a man snorts a gram with a male prostitute, someone's collection basket's getting filled. Filled up with meth and madness on a Sunday morning. Meth and madness, sure as I am born again. It's meth and madness, I don't need no more. Give me meth and madness and we'll praise the Lord. I'm looking for someone to turn the other cheek. I'll go on Larry King and tell him, Larry, I was weak. But deliver me from evil and deliver me from greed. Deliver me a hot stud and a couple grams of speed. And give me meth and madness on a Sunday morning. Meth and madness, sure as I am born again. It's meth and madness, I don't need no more. Give me meth and madness and we'll praise the Lord. Give me that meth and madness on a Sunday morning.
Well, Dick, I gave it a 5 because it's got a great beat and a really important message, and you can dance to it. Yeah. I loved one of the comments. A reminder that this was all part of a huge religious satire called God Says, and at the time it even had its own website for the Love God's Way Ministries, and there was a subpage that was dedicated to their Pray the Gay Away program called CHOPS, Changing Homosexuals into Ordinary Peoples. CHOPS. Well, nonetheless, that one's for you, Brother Ted. And will you get rid of this meth for me, please? Sure thing, brother. Apparently, going back to Pope Frank and the war bonnet, Flavio says, that did not go over well. Well, good. It shouldn't have. Flavio says, Pope Frank really should have declined. Oh, no, thanks. No, that's a lovely war bonnet. Maybe someone who actually has a right to wear it could model it for me, and not in a creepy, pervy way. I mean, I'm the Pope and everything, but that's not what I meant. So we're off and running on what looks to be a Jim Dandy prayer meeting Wednesday. You know, with every revelation, it appears that it becomes more clear that what we've been dealing with for the past, is it what, 6, 10? I mean, I think it goes back a ways, actually. The Republican Party has been morphing into a fascist movement and is full-on a fascist movement now. And not even Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney can dilute that stain. And It turns out that the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU, and at a conference, some SEIU members unfurled a banner that said "Indict Trump" and protested, and they chanted "No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA." And then, lo and behold, this is a few years back, a couple of guys who were described as wearing green shirts and had beards and man buns. No, hair, man buns. Stop it. Attacked the protesters. The shirts had some sort of quasi-military-looking patch or whatever on the left breast, and there was an American flag on the left sleeve. And it turns out these were security goons who were paid by America First. You remember America First, neo-Nazi organization? And the SEIU was actually having a meeting at the hotel in D.C., the Marriott Marquis on Massachusetts Avenue, been there. And their strategic initiatives department had booked the hotel for a conference. And, well, the America First conference was on the first floor. And the SEIU, the America First creeps went through the SEIU area and this was back during the pandemic. Of course, the maggots had no masks. And the maggot fascist green shirts harassed and attacked them. They grabbed signs from the SEIU members. They assaulted a pair of protesters. They body checked the staffer. They shoved another one. What's your guess? Oath keepers? I'm thinking maybe Proud Boys. Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. And in fact, one of these assholes looked at the SEIU people, one of the SEIU members who actually had business being there at the SEIU conference, and said, "You don't need to leave here. You're not welcome here anymore." And tried to impersonate hotel security. It's over at Raw Story if you want to see the video. Not a lot of content there, but... Well, I mean, not a lot of radio... It's great. It's interesting viewing. It's not much for the radio. That's what I mean. But there, you know, fascism is on the march, and what we fail to understand is that it never goes quietly. Fascism always has to be crushed. You can't have a little sit-down talk to with fascists. Speaking of fascists, George Tanios, not Thanos, no, this is not a Marvel movie. George Tanios was charged with his role in the terrorist attack on January 6th. And he and his co-defendant, Julian Cotter, K-H-A-T-E-R, had a virtual hearing in U.S. District Court and entered a guilty plea to entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds and disorderly and disruptive conduct on restricted grounds. Well, that's a misdemeanor plea. This is more of that without fear or favor prosecution from the Garland, Justice Department. The headlines were all over the place beginning yesterday evening, well into today. Justice Department admits it's investigating Trump. Oh, stop. Because, see, the plea to remaining in a restricted building or grounds and disorderly disruptive conduct on restricted grounds, those misdemeanors, those were a plea downward from felony counts of assaulting federal law enforcement. And Tanios entered his guilty plea. Here's the thing, though. I really think they should have maybe exercised a little less prosecutorial discretion, because Tanios and Cotter were the ones who were charged with assaulting Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. They just pled for what, for all intents and purposes, was at least manslaughter and very possibly murder. They pled it down to a misdemeanor. Justice. Well, okay, it probably wasn't murder. But the bottom line is, Officer Sicknicks have suffered multiple strokes the day that Tanios and Cotter attacked him, and then, or the day after the attack, and then eventually he did die, and I guess it'll be a miracle if he sees any jail time at all. It certainly won't be federal prison time because it's a misdemeanor. Without fear or favor. Seems pretty favorable. And the felony charges wouldn't have been that hard to prove. But, oh well, I guess maybe Tanios got the better deal because so as to secure his testimony against his co-defendant. God, that's sickening. Oh, but speaking of the January 6th terrorist attack, a little more Josh Hawley and ass news. You know, when Bishop Willard Romney, the junior senator from Utah, starts punking you, you know you pretty much hit rock bottom. When a guy who spent his Vietnam years defending Le Rive Gauche in Paris against the vicissitudes of the Viet Cong, when that guy's making fun of you for running away, you know.
Yeah.
Among other things, the Washington Post reported that Bishop Willard screamed at Hawley while the mob was ransacking the Capitol. He said, "You have caused this!" But after the footage was played of him, of Hawley an ass, and I thought of another song that could go with that, by the way. She's a Little Runaway. Doesn't that work?
Yeah.
In an interview to Insider, Bishop Willard said, you know,
I haven't heard what his explanation is, but obviously that was not his greatest moment in that hearing.
And, well, the sad thing is, even though his hometown paper, the Kansas City Star, has called him a laughingstock, pointing out that he has been a champion of masculine virtues, Kansas City Star has said, no, actually, he's a fleeing coward. His cowardice will probably be rewarded by the voters. You'd like to hope that there's some strong Democrat who can oppose him, but Missouri? I don't know. I don't know.
Not your best moment, Josh. I mean, I bicycled around Paris asking people if they had a moment to talk about Joseph Smith's plan for their life, and all the only French, and then all them French people would look at me and say, "Pourquoi?
Qu'est-ce que c'est Joseph Smith?"
But even I was more manly than you, Josh Hawley, you champion of masculinity, you.
Lord. Oh, and, okay, this is a disturbing story. Comes out of Harris County, Texas. This is, what, the second story in 2 or 3 days about a woman pulling out her freedom protector and starting shooting? Or threatening to? This was a road rage incident. But it's the headline that grabbed me. This is one of those copy editing is dead moments. Texas woman opens fire at car with 2-year-old during road rage incident. Can I get a little help here? Because I'm trying to figure out how, in a road rage incident, you shoot at another car with a 2-year-old. Or are we saying that the firearm was 2 years old? And that's a level of detail you don't often see in headlines. It is. Texas woman opens fire at car with 2-year-old during road rage incident. And you get that headline from the Harris County Sheriff's Office release on Twitter from Ed Gonzalez, I presume to be the sheriff of Harris County.
Well, this afternoon, two parties were involved in a road rage incident while driving north on 45 near 1960. Victim was driving his car with his 2-year-old son in tow.
Wait a minute, he was tow. Come on, Ed, you're supposed to lead here. We need some grammatical leadership, too. With his 2-year-old son in tow, he was towing They allow that? You can tow toddlers in Texas? Texas tow toddlers? Texas toddler tows? That's T-O-W, not T-O-E. Victim exited 45 at Parramatta. I don't know. Never been to Houston. As suspect truck followed, both vehicles came to stop. Male driver suspect in the truck approached the victim at his car and allegedly assaulted him. Victim began to flee as a female suspect passenger in truck exited with a handgun and fired into the backseat passenger window. Victim continued to drive as the female suspect wildly fired a second shot at him. A car dealership building was also struck. Victim was transported to a hospital with a possible graze wound. The male's in good condition. No other reported injuries. Nasley Ortiz has been charged with aggravated assault and Benjamin Green with assault. Of course, the minute the name Ortiz shows up, there's a genius handy to say, she's from Columbia. C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A. She's a Marylander? Oh, no, they mean the country, Colombia. C-O-L-O-M-B-I-A. Oh, well, maggots. Well, whatever. This is the America that the National Rifle Association so desperately wanted. But that's a headline for the ages. Texas woman opens fire at car with two-year-old during road rage incident. But since it was a woman with a gun, the cops were able to disarm her. If it had been a 19-year-old white boy, they might have let him go on and slaughter half of Harris County. Language can be such a devil sometimes. Emilio says, stop it, Robin. You don't know how hard Romney had it. Sometimes they didn't serve jam and butter with the croissant, and the wine was often over-chilled in the refrigerator. Oh, Emilio, quel horreur! Unspeakable! Imparable! I don't know. I'm just making shit up now. Yeah, Flavio says, no kidding. Josh Hawley actually wrote a book titled Manhood, The Masculine Virtues America Needs. See these very masculine track shoes I'm wearing here? I'm using it because I'm going to run very masculinely away. Masculine, manhood. And you only get books like that from people like Josh Hall and Ass when they have believed it, when people who love to get close to potential power say things like, oh, son, you're going to be president someday. Yeah, son, yeah, you're definitely presidential timber. Yeah, he's a toothpick. So, this is kind of Wednesday-ish. Doug Mastriano is the Republican nominee for governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania-Bamistan. Remember, Pittsburgh in the east, Philly in the west, Pittsburgh in the west, Philly in the east, and Alabama in the middle. I've loved that since the first time, Rick Smith told that to me, because it's true. Doug Mastriano is a surefire, no kidding, maggot. I mean, this guy's full-on fascist, and
just awful. And there's been a lot of pearl-clutching and hand-wringing over the fact that, as was the case also in Maryland with their Republican governor's primary, that, and this is the language being used, Democrats colluded with maggots to secure victory for maggot gubernatorial candidates. The thinking being that, you know, maybe that the Democratic nominee for governor would have a better chance with a worse candidate. Well, it turns out now that one of Doug Mastriano's nearest and dearest supporters, one Andrew Torba, founded the right-wing social media site Gab, and Mastriano, in turn, used Gab as a messaging hub for his campaign. Well, Andrew Torba has, I guess, declared the Republican Party to be a sundown party. And, you know, I'm comparing to a sundown town, you know, don't let the sun set on you here. Only where Andrew Torba's concerned, it's a sundown party relative to Jews. He was speaking recently, Andrew Torba was, and he said, "We don't want people who are Jewish. We don't want people who are, you know, non-believers, agnostic, whatever. This is an explicitly Christian movement, because this is an explicitly Christian country. We're not saying we're going to deport all these people or whatever. You're free to stay here. You're not going to be forced to convert or anything like this, because that's not biblical whatsoever. But you're going to enjoy the fruits of living in a Christian society under Christian laws and under a Christian culture, and you can thank us later." Andrew Torba sees Doug Mastriano as the key to creating a fascist theocracy throughout the entire United States. And he thinks that, well, Doug Mastriano's just the man to make it happen. Talking about the Pennsylvania governor's race, he said, "This is the most important election of the 2022 midterms because Doug is an outspoken Christian. He's going to turn this state around for the glory of God. That is the mission here, folks." And Mastriano openly identifies as a Christian nationalist. We talked a little bit about that on yesterday's program, noting that Emery and Marvelline recognize the word Christian and have no idea how much freight the word nationalist carries. He's a cue ball, Mastriano is. And, you know, here's Andrew Torba. And arguably Doug Mastriano telling us exactly who they are. And, well, yeah, I know, a little ray of sunshine, right? Yeah, here they are, and here we are. And yet one wonders if people will have enough common sense to put aside their "I want a ponyism" to actually fight, no kidding, Nazis. "We're not going to forcibly convert you or anything." No, they just seek to turn the government into a Christian theocracy. And you don't have to convert, you're just not going to have any rights. And that even goes for Christians who don't agree with their version of Christianity. You know, be afraid. Be very afraid and let your fear motivate you. If you see something, say something. We've been calling out, we've been calling out Christian fascism, theocratic fascism, for almost two decades on this program. And I'm proud of the work that we've done. And you got to wonder how conservative thought leaders like little neo-maxi-zoom dweeby Ben Shapiro and Dave Rubin, got to wonder what they think about all that.
Well, okay, if I got to get in line,
you know, because they're not leaders, they're followers.
Yeah, okay, I can hate myself if it's going to help the conservative cause.
Science doesn't care about your pronouns. You know, that's one of Ben Shapiro's rallying cries. Well, at least there's this much. Anybody who calls themselves Christian at this point and gets behind Doug Mastriano, they too are telling you who they are. So the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, voters therein, are on notice. And it might do well to make this abundantly clear to people straight up, or, you know, say maybe more than a couple of days before the November election, as in now. If you vote for Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania, you are in bed with fascists, the real kind. If you vote for him because he says he's a Christian, then the kind of Christian you are has absolutely nothing to do with a brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life. We have been, you know, warned. I don't know how to say it any other way. Oh, and at the same time that Bishop Willard was throwing shade at Josh Hallenass. Remember the first time that Joe Biden referred to Nitwit Nero as the former guy? Well, Joe's all better. He's tested negative for the Rona, and so he's back to doing public appearances. And he had a ceremony in the White House Rose Garden today. And it was one of those bless God, love him, bless his heart kind of moments.
As I was walking out, I thought I heard a rumbling in my staff saying, "Oh, he's back." Thanks for sticking around. Hello, everyone. I've just tested negative for COVID-19 after isolating for 5 days.
He does rock those aviators.
Thankfully, I'll now be able to return to work in person, but I want to thank you all for your well wishes, your prayers over this past week and the calls I've gotten. I also want to thank the medical team here at the White House for the incredible care they gave me. Fortunately, God willing, my symptoms were mild, my recovery was quick, and I'm feeling great. The entire time I was in isolation, I was able to work, to carry out the duties of the office and without any interruption. It's a real statement on where we are in the fight against COVID-19. Right now, we are facing a new variant, the BA.5 variant, a very transmissible version of Omicron variant we saw here this past winter. In fact, this new variant and infected me is getting a lot of people infected all around the world, not just here in the United States. We should take precautions to try to slow the spread of this virus. My administration has made billions of dollars in funding available to improve ventilation in our schools and our public buildings. We've made tests widely available so you can take one before attending a large indoor gatherings or visiting with high-risk individuals. We've made high-quality masks available for free, so you should consider wearing a mask when you're in a crowded indoor public place. These precautions add an extra layer of protection for you and for those around you. But the reality is that BA5 means many of us are still going to get COVID, even if we take the precautions. That doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong. Unfortunately, this COVID is still with us, as it has been for 2.5 years. But our fight against COVID is making a huge difference. What's different now is our ability to protect ourselves from serious illness due to COVID. In fact, that's radically different today than it was just a year ago. COVID isn't gone, but even with cases climbing in this country, COVID deaths are down nearly 90%. And when I took office, that's 90% difference between today and when I took office. That's what's new. That's what's new in COVID response, different from where we were just a year ago. Even if you get COVID, you can avoid winding up with a severe case. You can now prevent most COVID deaths, and that's because three free tools my administration has invested in and distributed this past year: booster shots, at-home tests, easy-to-use effective treatments. We've got through COVID with no fear. I got through with no fear. A very mild discomfort because of these essentials, life-saving tools. And guess what? I want to remind everybody, they are free, they are convenient, and they are safe, and they work. First.
Did you catch that? That was a beautiful moment. Kind of fun. He had to get helicoptered to Walter Reed. I just isolated. I remember how we all sat and watched him shamble out to the helicopter that evening. And then, of course, they blasted him with some steroids and he wanted to tear his shirt off in front of the adoring maggots. COVID Caligula did. Yeesh. Well, I'm glad Joe weathered the storm. Yeah, and that's true. That's absolutely true. Flavio says, how's Benny Thompson of Mississippi doing, crickets? I hope he's okay. Randy Radar says, I plan to vote Democratic this fall in Pennsylvania. With my luck, I'm going to show up on the wrong day. I think there will be a lot of media out there reminding people what the right day is, Randy. So you should be good. Thank you. Later. Going back to Andrew Torba.
It's going to be a great Christian country, and you can thank us later.
The dude said you can thank us later. Well, son of a gun, Suman says, I've been very thankful for this country, but damn, I've been walking around for 21 years without thanking Christians for their laws. You reckon there's a date by which I should do so? I'll get on it right away, just as soon as they decide that Roe is legal. Yeah, no, not so much. Not so much, Suman.
Yeah, and the women folk can thank us especially good.
Here in West Virginia, the bill advanced to the floor to further debate on the abortion ban without any recourse for rape or incest. And honest to God, I really do. I think I understand why they've got why they can't stand to put in an exception for cases of incest. My God, when you look at some of them, you know they grew up hollering, "Uncle Daddy!" I mean, And curiously, well, I featured a couple more of them on my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter pages earlier today. Yeah, I know. It's unfair to comment on somebody's appearance, but, well, they do it. And this little dweeb, I mean, when they wrote the script to The Breakfast Club, I'm quite sure they did not know that they were creating a term for someone who hadn't even been born yet. But Riley Keaton of Roan County, West Virginia, is the epitome, the manifestation. He is the platonic ideal of a neo-maxi Zoom dweeby. And frankly, he looks like the product of incest. Big ears, buggy eyes. I mean, hell, that entire group of 16 members of the West Virginia House of Delegates Republican contingent of the Judiciary Committee, they look like the road company of fucking Deliverance. I don't know, call them the Sure Do Got a Pretty Mouth Society. Ugh. Thanks, Suman. Yeah, I'm not hauling out the thank you notes either. Yeah, I heard about that. Ron and Raleigh reminds us, Benny the Jet, Ben Shapiro, the Pope of the Jews, as Sam Cedar calls him, refused to attend Dave Rubin's wedding because he can't abide the homos. The fact that Dave and his husband are expecting twins has been absolutely apoplectic. Fight amongst yourselves, please. Come on, let's you and him fight. And it's hard to make odds on something like that, Ron, because you don't know who to bet on, the self-hating Jew or the self-hating gay. Well, wait a minute. I think Rubens gets an edge because he's not just a self-hating gay; he's a self-hating gay Jew. So that's like upgrade in idiocracy for a double dose of his self-hating. Upgrade spelled his name with two D's. For a double dose of his pimping. Oh. Oh, what a neo-maxi Zoom dweeby. Darlene asks, is it even worth commenting to Garland through the DOJ website anymore? Yeah, I know. The theme music opener to the old Benny Hill comedy show keeps leaping to mind whenever I think of Haulin' Ass Holly. Boots Randolph. Thank you, Flavio, for that, for reminding us the name. The name of that piece is Yakety Sax by Boots Randolph. And it does. Okay, everybody, just go ahead and get this out of your system and think of Josh Hawley. All better now? No, it's earwormed, isn't it? Wasn't it Starship? Was it Starship that did Run Away? It was kind of a mellow sort of yacht rocky kind of affair, yeah. He's still at it, Kim in New York says. Does anybody not get that the seditionist in chief is still trying to overturn the election or at the very least foment chaos? I know. David Knowles, senior editor at Yahoo News, with a piece that Kim sent along. Trump notifies CNN of intent to file defamation lawsuit regarding his unproven election claims. That's today. Nitwit Nero gave a statement saying, I have notified CNN of my intent to file a lawsuit
over their repeated defamatory statements against me yesterday. That's a hard word for me.
Oh, no, I added that part.
I will also be commencing actions against other media outlets who have defamed me and defrauded the public regarding the overwhelming evidence of fraud throughout the 2020 election.
He sent this to the CEO of CNN, one Chris Licht, maybe Chris Light, I don't know, and their general counsel, David Vigilante.
I wish I had a lawyer named Vigilante. I could say I contacted the law firm of Vigilante Justice.
I'm sorry, he lives in my head. I'm sorry. Sometimes.
Accordingly.
Because the letter went on. You can imagine that maybe the CEO called the general counsel and said, your office or mine? Yours. You've got the better view. I'll bring the scotch.
Accordingly, I hereby.
You know, I need a job with. I need to go back to work for CNN just doing. Just reading Trump things to the CEOs there.
Accordingly, I hereby demand on behalf of President Donald Trump that that CNN, one, immediately take down the false and defamatory publications, two, immediately issue a full and fair retraction of the statements identified herein as conspicuous a manner as they were originally published, and three, immediately cease and desist from its continued use of big lie and lying when describing President Trump's subjective belief regarding the integrity of the 2020 election.
Good luck with that. Yeah, we were talking about why he went to D.C., and it was a
speech on crime. They really want to damage me so I can no longer go back to work for you, and I don't think that's going to happen.
And then that brings us to a story that Darlene sent along, which I find kind of delightful. Jonathan Carl, the ABC News chief Washington correspondent, and you know, by the way, right winger. The Republican National Committee is worried and say that they're afraid that Nitwit Nero will stop paying. They're worried about him ruining their midterm chances. And so they told him that they will quit paying his personal legal bills if he announces anytime soon, like, you know, before the midterms. Since October of last year, the Republican National Committee has paid some $1.7 million in Nitwit Nero legal bills to various law firms, really bad law firms, representing Nitwit Nero. An RNC official told ABC News that as soon as Trump would announce he is running for president, the payments would stop because the party has a neutrality policy that prevents it from taking sides in the presidential primary. And as far back as January, chair of the RNC, RNQ, I don't know, Ronna Romney McDaniel, they always leave the Romney part out, and I like to put it back. She said, the party has to stay neutral. I'm not telling anyone to run or not run in 2024. But then she went on and said, well, you know, Trump still leads the party. Neither side, the Republican National Committee, the Nitwit Nero train wreck, would confirm the essential elements of the story. For those keeping score, Nitwit Nero filed 42 separate lawsuits since Election Day 2020. And he is, oh my, 0 for 42. The only case that he won had nothing to do with the election. The governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, sued to try to squeeze blood from a turnip or, you know, mango to make Nitwit Nero pay for the legal fees that the state incurred defending his, well, the lawsuit that he lost in Wisconsin.
He's losing. He's losing so bigly.
Well, you're right. You're right, Kim. He's still at it. He's not. Because the grift is the money. Yeah, Flavio says, shame on you. And you were a DJ. Bon Jovi, Runaway. Oh, she's a little runaway. That's not the one I'm thinking of. I know about that. Yeah, Run, Run, Runaway. I mentioned that earlier, but there's a Starship song. Because I can hear Marty Balin's voice. Yeah, somebody will come up with it. Randy Radar says it's all WWE, every word of it. Well, maybe, maybe not. Remains to be seen, because, see, there are people who badly want Nitwit Nero not to have the nomination because they, and by they I mean, you know, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, want the nomination for themselves, and they would be pissed. And in fact, heads would be lopped if, say, Monkey Up was to beat Monkey Down, right? And wind up the Republican nominee. So it may not be wrestling. I mean, generally in primary season, parties take no position, or at least they're not supposed to. Oh, that's nice. Brave Sir Josh, Christopher out in Oregon, says, I keep thinking Josh Hawley went all flock of seagulls on January 6th. Oh, has anybody done that meme yet of Josh Hawley hauling ass? And I ran so far away. That just begs to be done. I hadn't thought of that one, so cowbell for that, Christopher. So we are well over halfway into the program. There it is, Runaway, Jefferson Starship song. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Peaked at number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 13 on the Cashbox Top 100. It was from the album Earth. 1978. Okay, so it's good to, yeah, I was sure it was Starship. And back then it was Jefferson Starship. Because it had evolved from Jefferson Airplane. Okay. All right, well, here's the grim. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Doug, Paisan, Flavio says. Does he know American Nazis are against anybody that's not Nordic? Emphasis on dick. And Emilio reminds us, you know, something's really Christian the more they have to mention it at every turn. Maybe Mike, Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell can put out a new series of underwear with Jesus' portrait. Now, we don't. Jesus doesn't look good with little brown racing stripes. That's heresy, Emilio. Or hemisy. Oh, well, thank you. Billable Rick has awarded me a cowbell. That's for the Republican National Committee. Yeah, that's the song, Randy. Jeremy says, it can't be WWE. Vince was just forced out of CEO for his scandals as of late. Trump's still milking his sucker and loser followers. Yeah, Dave and I talked a little bit about that last night. We'll hang on to Republican National Committee. No, but here's the grim news. We are an hour and 41 minutes into the broadcast this evening. We have $1,852 to finish the month of July, and we've got, well, I guess we're going to have a Friday on the front porch now. I was hoping to get away on Friday, but I don't think that's going to happen. So we will continue. We'll have a Friday on the front porch. I'll be right here. And we'll finish out the month of July in proper form. And maybe we can knock down the 1852 or some portion thereof. But it hasn't been, we haven't had a month this grim in a very long time. And it started out really well. And then it just fell off a cliff. Let's see. Now let's go over to the stress line. I'm sorry to make people wait, but I just wanted to get those stories out of the way. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Sorry, I had it on mute.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, is that Ken?
You were talking about Pennsylvania and Mastriano. And the first thing I thought of was what with Rick Smith saying Pittsburgh in the middle and Philly in the east. Well, there's not only longitude, there's latitude.
True.
Here used to be a pretty big Union town, right? And, well, Union wasn't the only... my dad knew a bunch of right-wing Union members. It was weird when I was growing up. I thought it was so strange. The races,
it feels like kind of a non sequitur, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And I guess I don't know any better. Or they think they do. Well, that kind of you've gone on about Dunning-Kruger effect. Well, there's a corollary. But smart people underestimate their ability. And, if you want to do a little deep dive on that, it's fascinating. But I heard Dunning-Kruger in college, Bachelor of Science, Penn State Psychology, so I heard it in passing. I'm kind of all over the place. I know I'm a spaz.
No, you're fine. No, you're not. Not quite that. You're fine.
I get up late. I can only call you when I'm just not in the doldrums of depression. So I guess maybe I'm, my bipolar, but that's what it is. Have you seen Fetterman trolling freaking Oz? Isn't that great?
Oh, he's got some pro trolls on the campaign.
Oh man, that is, we need those alpha liberals. That I've been wanting that since the guy from Florida. It was pretty good. You want to take it to the Republicans? I mean, I'm tired of, I don't know. I'm sorry. I say it, being a pussy. I'm tired of being sitting back on the bench and like, oh, Chuck Schumer, you're a friend. No, they're not our fucking friends. Excuse me. Forget the comedy. There's no comedy anymore. They're full-out fascists. Forget it. I don't.
Yeah, we're there. There's no neo. There's no proto. It's just fascist.
Right. Well, it's the same thing. Well, as it was neo, maybe 20 years ago. That seems like a legitimate, the way to call it. But was neo? It's not neo now. It's been 20 years. It's old stuff. Same old game. Oh my God. Ugh. We've done before, with the insurrection. You taught me how important history was. Well, there were 18 senators or something, Congress people that were kicked out of office for the Lincoln so-called insurrection, right?
Well, the entire Southern contingent of senators, deep gone, when they seceded.
Right.
They couldn't very well stick around in a country they didn't want to be part of.
Right.
I mean, that would have just been rude. It would have been not done.
I can't do that accent real good, but...
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Ken. When you do a perfect Southern accent by saying, I can't do that accent real good, you get a cowbell around here.
All right. Sweet. That's sweet, man. That's sweet coming from you, dear.
Well, I was going to ask you, I'm kind of ashamed of myself because while I know about Doug Mastriano, but frankly, I have no idea who the Democratic nominee is, and that's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's scary because I don't either. And I was thinking what to talk to.
We have a name recognition problem.
Yikes! I what an easy target this guy is. He's a freaking nut job. I mean, please God, I don't know how far this country has gone or this state has gone nuts, though, but I think it's the common third of the population, right around 30% of the vocal minority, and they've been Trump, unleash the Kraken, so to speak.
Indeed.
That's crazy. Yikes. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm going to switch subjects. Mike Kelly is my Congress critter.
Right.
And this fucking traitor, Mike Kelly... Yeah, he was implicated. Ron Johnson implicated in it that he gave some fake electors for Pennsylvania. I haven't dug too deep in it, but I was looking at the usual suspects that aren't hidden behind paywalls of, newspaper accounts, YouTube accounts. There was something on. Yeah, it's not like the old blog days, but. Yeah, and of course he denies it. I don't know if you've seen that or anybody else has seen that. Maybe John from PA. Yeah, he's guilty as fuck. I'm sorry. He's a Nazi. He looks like one. And you know what? I don't want to fat shame people, but honestly, he does. I really hate these people. I'm sorry. I can't stand it. How do we determine the truth there? Hopefully Merrick Garland, they're going to investigate this jerk off too with Jacket Off Johnson. Eek.
No, you mean Jim Jacket Off Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the stack.
No, it was Ron Johnson then.
Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He works in the lumber mill there.
Ron Johnson, he works in the lumber mill there, yeah.
When he walks down the street, all the people he meets, they say, hey, what's your name? And he says, my name is Ron Johnson. I live in Wisconsin. I work in the lumber mill there. Sorry.
Yeah,
we have an answer now, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee. Ralphs went out and got us the names. Doug Mastriano for the Republicans, of course. Josh Shapiro, who is presently the Attorney General of the Commonwealth.
Yeah, the Pope of the Jews, right.
How many people are going to confuse him with Ben? How many people are going to confuse him with Ben Shapiro?
Right, exactly. Which they just did, which is embarrassing. You can't see me blush, but I am blushing. yikes.
Well, I love the fact that Mastriano, at his victory party after the primary there in Pennsylvania, opened with a Bible verse, God uses the foolish to confound the wise. That's what he said right off the bat. That was the first thing he said. That was his
Bible.
I'm pretty sure he thinks he's the wise, but no. What is that? Really? Is he just saying that his supporters are idiots?
These people are too stupid to realize that they're projecting so much.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter, we've got a saying here. The maggots, generally speaking, ain't got enough sense to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel.
Right. You got a lot of things there, Robin.
Been collecting them for almost 60 years.
They want it all. Remember?
Yeah, they want it all.
Remember that all? They want it all. I was thinking of some other years saying, the current one is, they're going to do it again. And thanks to our brother from San Diego, we're all screwed, Robin.
I know. Well, we're trying not to give in to the darkness, but kind of hard not
right.
to.
Right. Well, that's why you got a massive fundraising hole, and people, dear God, if there's a God or if there's something, I need Robin. I need y'all in my family because I'm really having a hard time coping. So. I gave it at the beginning of the month. I can't do it right now, but...
Oh, honey, you're fine.
Please.
You do a lot.
I know, I do. I can try when I do it, but I want to implore other people that, you know, maybe you haven't given a while, or maybe they get a slot machine for $50. You know, flip Robin $10, please. I need this community. I really do. I feel like I'm kind of lonely. I need this family. I really do. I need this matriarch and the former person. Well, not the same person. No. Yeah. No, you're just, I need you. Put it that way.
Thank you, Ken. That's so kind. And that's, you know, that it's a symbiotic thing. You know, I get behind this mic three hours an evening, no matter what's going on and no matter how I feel. And, cause there's a little bit of, and I'm not trying to say anything scary, but you know, people joke about, you know, me taking one for the team or whatever. And a lot of us do this, you know, we immerse ourselves in the news, and then if we don't have an outlet for it, and frankly, social media doesn't count, we need a community to talk in. And creating that community is what this is all about. And has been for, well, let's see, October will be October 24th will be 17 years just in this format alone.
Right.
And I came back to the doing radio work in 2003 at the kind behest of Dr. Bill. So yeah, we are working toward 20 years of this conversation going on.
Right.
And it's really a thing to ponder, to sit here for that long and see how people come and go. You know, I think about the people who wandered away during the purity wars of 2016, and it makes me so sad because there were people there.
I don't want a pony. I want a unicorn.
Yeah, well, there were people there that I cared a lot about, and they just like poof, poof. And there are people we've lost.
Yeah,
there are people who have walked away because of my transition. And that's sad too. But the most important thing is the people who are here. This core group of people who really want better things for America, and who especially want to see a more decent, less cruel America, who have weathered the storm. Because, you know, the cruelty is the point. Now, I forget who said that, but that's been the motivating force for an entire segment of the politics of this country, just trying to figure out a way to be as shitty and cruel as they possibly can. And it has some traction, and it takes a toll. I mean, I've actually talked with my therapist a little bit about this, about how sitting and taking in all of this negativity and then trying to make some sense out of it for 3 hours an evening it leaves a mark. It really, really does.
I'm sure it does.
And it leaves one on all of us, and this is how we work through it. And thank you. Your plea, Ken, has been answered. Thank you to our pal Andy the Angry Jew. I went to the mailbox this past weekend, and I found an article. And some of y'all do this from time to time, and I love it. From the Chicago Tribune, Section 6, Sunday, July 17th, Transforming Spaces, meet Nora Sun, a Walter Payton College prep student who created a global scientific research competition for female and genderqueer high school students. And Andy kindly included a note saying, Robin, I'm sure you'll love this article. Hope is with the young, hoping all those that don't want people to live their chosen lifestyle to fucking die off ASAP. Andy's not a shrinking violet. Sorry, it's them or us. It's just a matter of time. Stand together or fall apart. Signed, Andy the Angry Jew. I love the article, and it gives me hope. And thank you, Andy. So we are not a goose egg this evening. In fact, Ralph's challenge, 25 for 25, has been met. And so that's 56. So we are down to we're down under $1,800. That's huge. And
yeah, even still hurts. Not to hurt too much.
So let's see, what would that be? We're down to 1787. Oh my God, that's the Constitution number. 1787 is the fundraising goal, which also happens to be the year that the Constitution was ratified. Yep. Scary stuff, that.
Aspirational. It's all aspirational. And God willing, we reach that.
Yeah, aspirational, not operational. I gotta share something with you, because I'm sitting here looking at it from my Twitter, account. John in Central Pennsylvania sent this along, and apparently, Ken, it's a real thing. I mean, I looked all over it. Please don't be real. But I doubt if they would be using real actors' images if it wasn't. The movie poster just kind of grab the hockey puck. Because this is actually a topic. Okay. This is a topic that we've talked about rather at length in the past. The movie poster features, well, it says Sam Neill as Thomas Jefferson. No, really, the black members of the Horn community, please get the hockey puck. I mean, really, please. Trigger warning, content warning. Holy shit! If this is real, pale pink Robin is going to be out the door, running rabbits, eating dirt, drinking pee out of a pint mason jar, and putting onion in her socks. This is horrifying. Sam Neill as Thomas Jefferson, Carmen Ejogo as Sally Hemings.
And
I'm just trying to imagine the studio pitch for this. The slogan on the movie poster says, "The true story of a romance between president and slave."
Oh, gross.
Oh, but it gets worse. Sally.
Oh, no, I meant
Sally Hemings, An American Love Story. Wait. Bound by slavery, freed by love. Holy shit!
Give me a bucket. I need a bucket.
Yeah, get me a bucket. I'm going to throw up.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And so the top photo shows Sally leaning on the shoulder of Tom, who's looking steely-eyed and doesn't look at all like he talks in a thin, high, reedy voice. But the bottom shows presumably Sally just out wandering around in the yard in front of the White House. This isn't new. This is old. Sally Hemings, An American Scandal, TV series 2000, Sam Neill. Ralphs, thank you. Oh dear, An American Scandal, bound by slavery, freed by love. No, I really do. I want to vomit. Old Marse Tom started raping young Sally when he was 44 and she was 14.
Yeah, I guess it. Yikes! Nice. I guess he was a Republican, right?
Well, he was a Jeffersonian Republican. Does that count?
Right. I guess.
So I'm wondering when the cue balls will start screaming, "Thomas Jefferson was a groomer."
Ew!
I know.
Your sweet daughter. Yeah, I found a cello. No, I gotta find my drumstick.
There's no way. It would take the rest of the program to unpack that.
No, for sure.
It's just a nightmare.
It was Shapiro. All right, now we did not forget his name.
No, Shapiro.
Glad it wasn't Mastriano. Yeah,
we're pro Shapiro.
You can remember. Yeah.
Up with Shapiro, down. I hope he's got a personality. I know that's a really rotten thing to say, but.
Yeah, come on, Casey is not the exemplar of personality. You know, the other senator from.
I know.
Anti-choice, Casey. Fuck you and fuck
yeah,
Jimmy.
You know, Planned Parenthood versus Casey.
Right. Yeah,
that Casey.
And fuck him. And you know what? Well, I'm going to go back to Scrapple, and fuck him too, even though he's dead. You know, Scrapple, the one bullet theory guy.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say Joe Lieberman, but it's not Joe Lieberman. No. Arlen and the Spectres.
The Spectre, that's right. Yeah, the Spectre with the R before the E. Yeah, Spectre. Gross. He's going to haunt us forever. Right?
Yeah.
This guy is going to haunt us forever. I mean, yeah, one bullet. It went through his brain and...
Yeah, the magic. Yeah, that's known as the magic bullet. Yes.
Right, the magic bullet. Isn't that funny? Scrapple. Did you ever eat Scrapple?
Yeah, I like it.
You kind of like it. It sounds gross.
Skillet fried with some you know, hash browns or home fries. I can be all about that.
The thing
with asking the question what is Scrapple is A, never ask.
Okay, well,
B, the shorter list is what isn't Scrapple, Ken. If it's part of a pig, it can be part of Scrapple.
All right.
Snout, trotters, ears, jowls, yeah. Belly.
Of course.
It's scraps. And whatever you got left over, cool. you grind it up and you spice it. It's nicely spiced, and I really do. I mean, it's delicious. And you cut it in slices, and it's got cornmeal in it.
Poor dog used to love pig ears.
Cornmeal in it as a binder, and it's kind of yummy.
No,
you're just a hard no on Scrapple.
Yeah, I'm hard enough.
But see, if you, down here, it's
a fist with a head on it.
It's kin to something down here that's referred to as souse, in sausage, souse, souse. Also,
right.
You know, parts okay. as parts.
Right.
And the thing is, if you took Scrapple or souse to a highfalutin New York City restaurant and put it on a big white plate with a little tiny piece of souse on it, it'd go for $40 a plate as coarse country pate. Coarse country pate.
That sounds even worse. Sounds like prairie. What is that? Prairie balls. Shit. I forgot. Yeah, right. You won't need mark it up by 1,000%, and the rich people are duped in the thinking they're buying some special stuff.
Oh, by the way, Ron and Raleigh just wrote in after we talked about the Sally Hemings A Love Story series.
Yeah,
22 years ago, and still out there. Ron and Raleigh said, "Did you hear it? That sound you heard was me screaming."
I think I did.
No, oh, no, I heard screaming coming from all over the country.
Your inner scream. Your inner voice was screaming too.
No, but you know, my inner monologues are having fits all over the country. Hey, thank you to our dear friend Texas T. So good to hear from you, and thanks for the help. We are now down to 1767. So I think we're in the French and Indian War era now, maybe. I'm not sure. 1767. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Texas T. Thank you so much. It's a kind of a desperate race against time, I guess you could say. Thank you so much. Well, Ken, it is so good to hear from you. And I hope, are you doing okay? Yeah. Are you doing better? Are you feeling all right?
Yeah, I am. I am feeling better. But one more thing I wanted to bring up.
Sure.
You were talking about, I listened to Sam Cedar during the day, and he had a young man on his program today, and they're going to plan an action for a congressional baseball game. And he is a brilliant young person. I was going to send the link, but I haven't did that. But they're going to plan an action for the congressional baseball game, which is tomorrow. And, you might want to talk to this young person. Just an idea. It was very, all of us are of a certain age. We're pretty close in age. And, it's real for them. They're the young people. The climate catastrophe is upon us. And, God damn it, somebody has to do something. And, I'll try to send a link when I hang
okay,
up.
That'd be great.
Do you have a horn page on Facebook? Or is that your personal page?
No, just messenger it to me, Robin Kincaid.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can do that. Yeah. I hate Facebook. It's so successful, but it's
you mentioned congressional baseball game. And I got a real case of the cringes because, and I don't know if Sam mentioned this in the interview. It was at the congressional baseball game when, for once, somebody with our side decided to take a pot shot at somebody. And well, the person that they managed to hit was Steve Scalise of Louisiana, who was no sooner back alive than he was back on his knees in front of the NRA. So these people can't learn.
Yeah. No, this is a totally nonviolent action.
I know it is, but it's how
rising is part of it. So
I know it is a nonviolent action, but that is not how the right wing will respond.
Yeah, well, for sure, but they wouldn't. They're not going to respond any other way.
Yeah,
of course,
true.
It is.
No, I'm not suggesting this. That's a reason not to do it, but it's one of those. Situations where if they're going to be there, they have to be super duper double plus hyper aware.
Right. Well, the authorities are aware, and but they're going to do it anyway. So I mean, for fuck's sake, we have to do something, and the kids are our future. And let's not get all corny about it. But it was quite inspiring. You want to move on to another caller? Maybe Scott, maybe cheer me up.
All right.
We beat the crap out of him, too. So.
Well, I'll do my best to be a little more cheerful, Ken. You take care of yourself, hon, all right?
Yeah, all right.
Bye.
All right, I love you, beautiful, and the family. Goodbye.
Oh, we love you, too. You take care. Bye. Our buddy Ken calling from the far northwest corner of Pennsylvania. Thank you, Nick. Hey, Nick, thanks. Nick reminded me that it was Josh Shapiro, the gubernatorial nominee in Pennsylvania, said, I grew up in Pennsylvania, when we had steel mills and unions and good wages. Now they got a fracking boom with shit wages. Yay, capitalism, right? Yeah. Onward to the Skype line where we have James. Hey, James.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm breathing.
Breathing is good.
Breathing
is winning.
Robin, you probably don't remember me, but I'm Alien Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. I know. I didn't want to necessarily give you away, but yeah.
No, that's okay. I must say that I enjoy listening to the program, and I support you guys on a monthly basis. It's not a lot, but it's something. And I just wanted to reach out and let you know that I'm so pleased with the way you look.
Well, thank you.
My God. It's my turn anyway. What I basically wanted to do, there's a song that I don't know if you've got the emails on it. It's called Fascist Christ. It's done by Todd Rundgren.
Oh, yes.
you might want to play that on prayer meeting Wednesday sometime. Namely, because it very much talks about what we're doing right now in this country.
It makes perfect. It sounds like. In fact, I know I've heard it. I tend to play more stuff that won't get me, you know, DMCA'd or whatever. But yeah, that and just as a look it up, Fascist Christ. It is that and there's a. You remember the band XTC?
Yeah, I've got. You played that one day.
Yeah, Dear God.
Right, Dear God. Right, and there's one other one. Way back when, God, what the hell is the name of it? Wilderness Road Gospel Hour.
Yes.
That's another one. I used to be a disc jockey myself, so I've played all of those wonderful things on the air. I guess that's why I'm not on the air anymore, but... other than that, you know,
did you break the rules and not save your relatability for your friends?
Yeah.
Hi, Lady B.
Lady B.
Yeah. No. She's. That was just a shout out for.
No, I was saying Lady B. I love her. She's cool.
Oh, she's awesome.
The
weather and traffic on the 10s and save your relatability for your friends. Stick to the fucking format.
What format? No, I had the all-night show. I was, you know, between 3 and 4 in the morning, I would let my hair down and let it all go. And one morning, the PD was listening and called and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm programming my own music." He says, "You're not supposed to do that." I said, "Well, I know I'm not supposed to, but I do because people like hearing these things from time to time." So the next day he came in and gave me my check and told me to get lost.
Well, you know, it's always much more of a badge of honor to be fired from a radio job than to quit one.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I remember, at some time or another, anybody who's worked in the business, get stick to the format. And
yeah.
early on, as a little smartass at the Gospel Voice, I looked at my program director and said, "Wait, there's a format?"
I used to play Sympathy for the Devil and. Oh God! There was and the Gospel Hour, and there was another one. God, I'm in my 70s. I'm losing my memory. Anyway, I just wanted to say hi and let you know that I'm listening. And somewhere along the line, when I get my brains a little unscrambled, I'll call and talk about subjects that you touch on from time to time.
Oh, feel
right
free.
Now, I'm really just a little disturbed by what's going on in our so-called Congress. I wish there were some way that we could get the so-called red states back on track with what's real and what's not real. And part of that, I think, was caused by the purchase of most of the AM radio band by those who wanted to muddy the waters.
Oh, sure. I mean, and the funny thing is, I go far enough back, Jimmy, that before there was a Limbaugh, there was actual meaningful talk radio. Some of it would drift right.
Oh, yeah. Michael Jackson here in L.A.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the ones I was thinking of. Yes, Michael Jackson had that lovely British accent. Hello, I'm Michael Jackson. Yeah, you had to, didn't you? And before she took her fabulous glasses to TV, "Hi, I'm Sally Jesse Raphael. Problems, yeah. Everybody has them." And there was a radio psychologist who wasn't, you know, wasn't insane like Dr. Laura, who wasn't a doctor.
Oh God.
The ABC, we ran at the AM station that I PD'd, because I got to be a PD. We ran the ABC Talk Radio Network, and we also ran NBC. And there was a financial guy who was always telling people that they needed to put their money in no-load mutual funds. And then overnight, we just ran the Mutual Broadcasting Network.
Be-doop. Oh, God, I missed them.
Be-doop. That sound is permanently, that stop tone is permanently stuck in my brain. Be-doop.
The thing is, Jimmy, it
wasn't insane. But shortly after I left, you know, by 90, 91, Limbaugh was all over the country.
That was after the duopoly agreement was made, and they were allowed to take over stations and start doing the more than five stations. And I really am disappointed that Bill Clinton signed that damn bill in 94 or 95.
I thought it was 97, but okay.
The
Telecommunications Act of 1996. We were both, you know, if we'd kept throwing darts, we would have gotten there.
Well, it was in the 90s. it was after Grandpa left the White House, who was actually controlling everything during the Reagan years anyway. You know, Papa Bush?
Oh, sure, Pappy, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, after that, everything went to hell. I mean, Fox News became the some people say department. And ever since then, it's been, you know, the thing I recognize about it is in the rural areas, by taking up the radio stations that they did, they were able to concentrate this kind of bullshit, excuse my language,
You're
in
fine.
Areas that, you know, weren't really getting much of anything. So, thank you, Rush Limburger Cheese, and I don't know, I'm starting to lose it.
Yeah, you're fine, Jimmy. It's awful good talking to you, my friend.
Likewise. And thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you so much. That really helps. I mean, you have boosted my spirits on a number of levels, and I can't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
You have a good evening, okay? Call anytime. Don't be a stranger.
All right, pal. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Alien Jimmy, if you pop into the Madcap Multimedia, etc. chat room, you may see Alien Jimmy in there from time to time. Good crowd in there this evening. Really good crowd. Stockton Larry and Squeaky and Roger and New Jersey Nick and Anatole and Alabama Blue Dot, all capably moderated by Pinch Hit Midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Steve! Have to do that. That's a legal requirement. So, want to get in on the conversation? It's been pretty good so far, I thought, and God knows we've had plenty of content to work with. So there was some breaking news at the beginning of the program, being prayer meeting Wednesday. I didn't quite get around to it as early as I should have, but Ralph's made me aware of it, and it's curious. Axios reporting earlier this afternoon. Today, oh God, I hate what a cynic I have been turned into. Because my first thought reading this headline was, oh, Lucy's back out. Lucy's back out in the backyard with the football again. Headline, Manchin announces support for climate tax health care deal. No, really, Charlie Brown, I won't pull the ball away this time. Let's just treat this as a reader. Senator Joe Manchin announced Wednesday. Oh, no, I am not, Anatole, but thank you for the sentiment. You're a radio superstar, Ms. Blobbin. Ms. Bobbin. Bob is dead. Oh, never mind. Senator Joe Manchin announced Wednesday he planned to support a deficit reduction package that addressed both climate change and prescription drug reform.
What?
A stark reversal for the one senator who's been blocking key planks of President Biden's agenda. The nascent deal would generate $313 billion in new revenue over 10 years by increasing the corporate minimum tax. Oh, Jesus. 215%, according to a one-page summary distributed by Manchin's office. It would bring in an additional $124 billion from enhanced Internal Revenue Service enforcement. And in a major blow to the private equity industry, the agreement calls for another $14 billion by treating so-called carried interest as regular income and taxing it at a higher rate. Why do I feel like I've just sat down at a three-card Monte table? And understand, that's on me. That's on me. I feel like I've been to this bad little piece of this bad little piece of theater of the cruel too many times. The climate aspect of it would spend $369 billion, which is a drop in the bucket. Again, what, over 10 years, 36 point, but while providing another $64 billion to shore up the Affordable Care Act for 3 years. And that would leave an additional $300 billion for deficit reduction. Oh, Jesus, really? Deficit reduction? Again, I'm so old that I can remember when Republicans used to have hissies about deficits until they ran one up, and then it was Dick Cheney sitting there,
well, everybody knows that deficits don't matter.
Huh, funny. They matter again. D is for Democrat, D is for deficit. D is for gullible. Wait. So apparently his change of heart came after a $280 billion package was passed by the Senate to support U.S. domestic semiconductor manufacturing. Because one of the sectors that really, really took a hit during the pandemic was, of course, the semiconductor industry. That's why used car prices went through the roof, and there weren't that many new cars being produced. And the car manufacturers were hard up for semiconductors, supply chain, yada yada. And speaking of supply chain, I want to send out my heartfelt thanks. Absolutely, from the bottom of my heart, to our dear, dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor. Little Miss Lilith got a package today, and she's going to, and so it's still devilishly hard to find here, but Joy found some packages, some containers of the formula that little Lily Junie Lee, my beloved little granddaughter, I think she'll be, I was counting it up, she's nearing, I think she's about 7 weeks old. She'll be 8 weeks old at the beginning of the month. And she just gets more beautiful every day. But Joy found some more formula and sent it along. And you have never seen a greater sense of, a greater vision of relief than appeared on the faces of those two young parents. Thank you so much, Joy. I love you. They love you. We love you. Because the supply chain is still a hot mess. In so many ways, now apparently the pharmaceutical industry has been hit by a supply chain issue relating to the medication used in epidurals. Well, give the Republicans a chance, and I'm sure they'll find a way to pass a bill saying, "Mama's giving birth, don't need it." You know what? Mary didn't need no epidural. Nobody needs no epidurals. Bet me.
We don't want these young mothers getting addicted to them epidurals.
No, tell me that's impossible. I would actually be relieved if you would tell me that that's impossible. That could never possibly happen in a maggot state. No, Robin, you just overreact. No, it's important. But I don't think any of you will. Because you know it's not only impossible, you know it's damned well likely. Merciless, sadistic, goddamn Republicans. Well, the semiconductor package got passed after Moscow Mitch decided that he wouldn't hold the CHIPS Act hostage. But then Manchin said he opposed new climate spending. The CHIPS Act passed.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Holy crap. Joe Manchin just taught Mitch McConnell the Manchin rule. This is a beautiful moment. I feel like there should be like music with swirling strings and the plucking of harps. Joe Manchin just buried the shiv between the ribs of Mitch McConnell. I mean, I'm not a Joe Manchin fangirl or anything, but it's kind of a beautiful thing. You can almost hear Joe Manchin saying to Moscow Mitch's chief of staff, "Tell Mitch I always liked him. It's only business." Manchin said, quote, "I now propose and will vote for the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Rather than risking more inflation with trillions in new spending, this bill will cut the inflation taxes Americans are paying, lower the cost of health insurance and prescription drugs, and ensure our country invests in the energy security and climate change solutions we need to remain a global superpower through innovation rather than elimination." Oh, dear. I am kind of the Manchin whisperer. Let me tell you what that means. That means that he secured, somewhere along the way, a promise that never another unkind word would be said about his beloved coal industry that has made him and his family googly millionaires. And Republicans, and this is a beautiful moment, I mean, savor it. Remember this day well, because Republicans are livid. They're furious. They're really, really mad because they didn't realize that Joe Manchin was going to slip the shiv between their ribs. And they're sitting there now saying, "Ow, why do I have a shiv between my ribs?" And they're saying that Joe was deceitful about his true intentions. "Oh, Joe, you did not tell us what your true intentions were." And that he used Moscow Mitch to get him to release the hold on the CHIPS bill, and then he turned, and so now they're saying that every Republican has to vote against the CHIPS Act in the House. Moscow Mitch reaching to that, you know, there's some places on your back that it's really hard to reach with your little primate hands, and especially if you have turtle claws instead of primate hands. And so he's kind of reaching, trying to get Joe Manchin's shiv out of his back, and he said,
Well, Democrats have already crushed American families with historic inflation. Now they want to pile on giant tax hikes that will hammer workers and kill many thousands of American jobs.
Did anybody tell Moscow Mitch that the taxes aren't going to be levied on workers? The giant tax hikes? And by the way, they're not giant tax hikes. Again, raising the corporate minimum tax, raising it to 15%. 15%. There's not a working American family in this country that pays 15%. But you know who's really going to get stung by that by how the carried interest is going to be treated, you know, as regular income? You know who's going to get that? Moscow Mitch's wife. What have you done, you miserable little reptile? You have any idea how much carried interest is going to cost me? You little terrapin! My God, you're not rich because of your looks. You're rich because you married me, Elaine Chao. And so, politics is an interesting thing. Terribly interesting thing to watch. What's that, Roger? Anybody else get the news that the Secret Service has found the text messages? I just saw that they lawyered up and won't answer questions. That semiconductor bill, Ron and Raleigh, tells us, a caller to Sam Cedars today explained how this bill is too little, too late, and will not do what people believe it will. Too much to explain here, but a good call. I've read up on it, and like almost anything Congress does, it's too little, too late. Because when you have to build consensus, you wind up with shit that doesn't do much. And again, not to rain on anybody's parade, but I'm still kind of gobsmacked by why we can't have a bill that just federalizes marriage equality, period. Instead of just recognizing the ones that are celebrated up to and including the day of it being signed into law. If, in fact, it is signed into law. I mean, a certain radio hostess might like to be a bride someday. Shh. Girl can dream. That's okay. I just want the dress. I don't want the relationship. But moving around, we've got a little bit of time left. If you'd like to get involved in the program, you're welcome to call in. Stress line's open, Skype line's open, easy, easy. This repulsive story comes out of Kentucky, Stan. When I originally read it, I saw Clark County. I was like, oh, okay, Las Vegas. No. A lawsuit has been filed in Kentucky by 8 women, and the gravamen of their complaint is that the sheriff of Clark County, Jamie Noel, alongside current and former corrections officers of the Clark County Jail described the suit describes the night of October 23rd, 2021. Oh, I'm sorry, not Clark County, Kentucky. Clark County, it makes even more sense now. Clark County, Talibandiana. Inmates in the male section of the jail
mustered up $1,000, paid off the sheriff's office and the corrections officers, and according to the suit papers, David Lowe, a jail official, gave two of the male prisoners the keys to their section of the jail, the Clark County Jail, and then content warning, trigger warning. You know where this is going. The suit papers filed in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Tallahassee makes the claim, quote, numerous male detainees used the keys obtained from Lowe, that's the jailer, David Lowe, to enter pods 4E and 4F, where they raped, assaulted, harassed, threatened, and intimidated the plaintiffs in this lawsuit and other women for several hours, resulting in significant physical and emotional injuries. While engaging in the multiple rapes, the men also told the women if they pressed the emergency call button, they would make them regret it. And the women go on to say that at no time did anyone come to their aid throughout the entire night of horror, even though it was entirely viewable on security video. Now, this is a county jail. This isn't a state prison. These are women held on any number of charges. Hell, some of them, you know. It could be anything from DUI to prostitution. Stuff related to chemical dependency. Eventually, Jailer Lowe was fired. He was charged with trafficking with an inmate, aiding escape, and official misconduct. According to reports, he admitted accepting the bribe and allowing inmates to access restricted areas of the jail. He did that when the investigation was going on, but nonetheless, he has entered a not guilty plea, and he is scheduled to be tried in September. Bart Beto is the lawyer for the plaintiffs. Speaking to WTHR, he said women were harassed, sexually assaulted, threatened, and completely terrified. When I met with each and every one of these women, and they broke down repeatedly, you get the impression, the understanding of what these women went through. And guess what? Let's be clear about something. There is not a Republican in the state of Tallahassee or anywhere in the entire universe who gives a good, tiny, itsy-bitsy tinker's damn about what was done to these women. Because as we discussed in yesterday's program, I don't think Republican men, think rape is a real thing. The story was published in the Lexington Herald Leader in Kentucky. In a previous lawsuit, it was pled that the rape claims were investigated internally and no rape charges have been filed. The present lawsuit reads, the violation of the plaintiff's constitutional rights was the result not only of a single bad actor, Lowe, but also due to a systemic failure on behalf of the Clark County Sheriff, who failed to properly staff the jail, train the jail officers, and supervise the jail officers to make sure they maintained adequate security at the jail. Adequate security? Come on, bet me. The COs were sitting there watching it like a porn video. You know these sadistic fucks got off on it.
anybody pregnant? Did anybody get pregnant out of it? Because you can't, you're not going to convince me that that when he accepted the $1,000 and turned over the keys, he said, "Safe sex now, boys. You got your condoms?" And I'm pretty sure that when one is incarcerated in the Clark County Talibandiana jail, you are not provided. Let's say, you know, you go into the jail and you're on the pill. I'm pretty sure you're not on the pill anymore by the time you come out, if you spend any time there at all. And the so-called criminal justice system in this country being what it is, you can pretty well guess the demographic makeup of the women who were raped. It doesn't take a lot of speculation. And this has been known about since after October 23rd, 2021. Nobody's been charged with rape or any other crime relating to rape. Kind of wonder if the security video got, is this a phrase now? Is this a new term? Secret serviced. And along the way, and just while we're at this, good Christ. Down in Montgomery, Alabama, all I have to do is say down in Montgomery, Alabama, and you know it's going to be a horror story. The bottom line is that through a series of mistakes, a guy named Joseph Petaway, who had been working on his buddy's home in a little neighborhood called Cresta Circle, he'd busted his ass helping his pal to spruce up the house, and they'd had a backyard barbecue to celebrate the work being done. The house was still empty. You know, there were maybe a couple of sleeping bags, a cot or something like that. And James Jones owned the house, and Petaway was doing the work, helping out. And they threw a barbecue, and they grilled venison sausage, which can be yummy. Put on a big feed for Petaway and somebody else, and some neighbors and other folks who'd helped out in their house renovation. Well, July the 8th, deciding not to walk home, maybe, you know, for obvious reasons, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, being a black man in Montgomery, Alabama. And so he went into another room and just laid down to catch some Z's. Well, James Jones heard somebody moving around, and he thought he had a home invader, so he called the cops. The cops showed up and brought with them a vicious dog. And the dog attacked James Petaway and mauled him, tore open his femoral artery. And James Petaway, known in the neighborhood as a really great guy. I mean, hell, he was helping his neighbor fix his house. He died in the house. He was killed in the house that he had helped to fix up. And the dog got such a grip on James Petaway's groin that the cop who was his handler had to choke out the dog to get him to release his grip. At no point in time did James Petaway present any kind of a threat. At no point in time was he anything even resembling uncooperative. But that Montgomery cop, or whether he's a sheriff's deputy, state trooper, don't give a good goddamn. Sicked that dog on him and killed him. That by itself is horror enough. But there's a civil rights suit that has been filed against the city of Montgomery, against the goddamn cops, against the cop, and yeah. And well, discovery has taken place. The canine handler's name was Nicholas Barber, by the way. The dog's name is Nico. They entered the front door. Why they had felt they had to take a vicious, bloodthirsty attack animal with them has yet to be explained. There was no use of bullhorns or a public address. You know, come out now with your hands up. Okay. Speaking to Raw Story, Griffin Sykes, lawyer for Walter Pettaway's suit, that's James's brother, said, in Alabama, there's a fetish around police dogs. A canine getting its first bite is a big rite of passage. Barber's dog hadn't gotten his first bite yet, and I think they wanted to be there for it. Bull Connor's ghost is alive in Alabama. And just to add brutal, vicious irony into the mix, the dog was taught to respond to commands auf Deutsch, in German. And so when they got to the door, Nicholas Barber looked at the dog and said, Voran! Ahead, advance. And that is the command for the dog to search, to find, to search for a person, find a person, and attack that person. Voran! James Pettaway crawled under the bed, the little cot that was in there trying to get away from the dog. Then the cops left him alone, bleeding out. And the cop, Barber, says, awesome! And another cop says, hey, did you get a bite? And the cop, Barber, says, sure did! Then they hauled Pettaway out of the house and waited for 3 minutes for paramedics to arrive. And that's when the guy whose house it was, the little pink house, realized what a horror had unfolded. But that's all just background. There's a lawsuit now. And in typical fashion, the lawyer for Mr. Pettaway has sought the body cam footage. And the judge let the lawyer have the body cam footage, but sealed it, ordered it sealed so that the lawyer can't, the media can't see it. People cannot see what their taxpayer dollars support. And the lawyer is under a court order, and the city of Montgomery and the cop lawyers and whatnot are saying, "Oh, you! This is their rationale. You can't let the jury see this video because those people might riot if it gets public." And they may get away with it. The court's ruling was
denounced by journalists in Alabama. The court's decision puts photographs, videos, documents, 9/11 calls, autopsy records, and correspondence related to any criminal investigation behind a shroud of secrecy. The opinion appears to say these records are to be hidden from the public regardless of the source. And just claiming, well, you know, it might be a little bit embarrassing for us. And the court agreed. And the question is, for the most part, unless it's a matter of a bomb or, you know, drugs, or maybe... Why do cop agencies so love having vicious attack dogs? Because the cruelty is the point. So they will go to trial in the spring of 2023. And, it is an open question as to whether the jury will get to see this deliberate act of police brutality. And so, by the way, Barber, the one handling the dog, it's another case of cops being cops. He made it all the way up to corporal in the Montgomery Police Department in 2017. And, he kind of got in some trouble being a cop because he got jealous about a guy that his girlfriend used to see, and he used his powers as a cop to dig up information about the ex. And then he wrote out a warrant for domestic violence against the guy. And then he arrested him during a traffic stop and sent him to jail. The judge dismissed all the charges when it all came out. And Barber resigned and took a copping job in a small Alabama town. Somehow it doesn't feel okay to just say, you know, we need some police reform. And this is the kind of thing that sends people marching through the streets saying, defund the police. They knew they were, they knew that whatever they found inside that little pink house, they were going to let their dog get his first bite. And his first bite was lethal. Wonder, did they put the dog down? Kind of not the dog's fault for being taught to be a vicious killer. Well, that's the program. Not exactly the happy story kicker one likes to have at the close of a broadcast. But sometimes it's not all happy. Oh, there's some happy... Yeah, okay, there's something. Brother Deacon, is it Scrapple? Are you kidding me? Every weekday and twice on Sunday. I like it, too. So, we're in a terrible spot. I wish I was kidding. But We are. We are $1,767 underfunded for the month of July. If you take out the three programs yet to come, or I'm sorry, two programs yet to come, tomorrow and Friday, we are still $1,267 underfunded. I get a lot of positive feedback and a lot of comments on how much this program matters to you. I'm glad it does. It warms my heart. But it is hard to keep it going. Devilishly hard to keep it going. Perhaps impossible to keep it going. Running deficits from one month to the next. So, if you hear this on the podcast or if you're listening now, maybe give some thought to helping bring this deficit down, because I can promise you, this is not about high living. The Gulf Stream and the Maybach are a joke, a really broad joke. And whatever that stupid website that's proliferated like mushrooms after a spring rain, no, I am not worth $800,000. That's laughable every time I think about it. If I was worth $800,000, we'd never fundraise on this program. Ever. But I'd obviously want this to continue. It's what I love to do, and it's what you enjoy being part of. So if you can help, please do help. And thanks to each and every one of you who are a subscriber through Patreon and PayPal and our a la carte contributors, because we would not exist without you. Simply would not exist. And yet somehow we've managed to for nearly two decades. So I put that plea out as sincerely as I possibly can. I desperately want, I want and I need this checkup on Monday. I don't talk about things, but there are things that need to be seen, things that scare me. There's a lump. That's all I'll say. But thank you. And thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you so much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Brother Bishop Steve, in the chat room. Thank you so much. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Do like Joe. Get both boosters. Wear your mask. Wear it in crowded places. Wear it in places where anybody unvaccinated might be. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance. And if somebody comes towards you blathering and babbling about how this is a Christian country and you can thank us later, well, avoid that deadly maggot like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.